This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. From streaming to shopping, Prime helps you get more out of your passions. So whether you're a fan of true crime or prefer a nail-biting novel from time to time, with services like Prime Video, Amazon Music, and fast free delivery, Prime makes it easy to get more out of whatever you're into or getting into. Visit amazon.com/prime to learn more.
My guest today is Ben Cachero, who's here to talk about his review of Skylanders Trap Team. My name is Justin McElroy, and this is Polygon's Quality Control. This is a game for kids.
You know, I think that's accurate. It's a game for kids or people who want an excuse to spend an inordinate amount of money on toys.
Well, I think we've got the right two gentlemen on this call. In that case, it's Skylanders Trap Team. Your review went up yesterday, but I'm talking to you about it now. I want to start off with a general sort of question for this type of game. Obviously, this is a game that is intended for children. Adults can obviously get something out of it, but it's intended for kids. As a reviewer, how does your approach differ when you're taking on a game like that?
You know, it's kind of interesting because you have to wonder who the audience is, right? It's not like there's a bunch of 8-year-olds reading Polygon going like, "Do I need Trap Team? Am I gonna?" Am I going to upgrade into this? What's the score? Let me check the Metacritic. So I think what people want out of a review like that, is this something that's good for the kids? Is it going to totally kill my pocketbook? And is it going to be something that's fun to play with them? And I think those are the questions you really have to answer.
Well, how did you answer that? How do you go about it?
You know, I try to play with the kids a little bit, especially with these games. I like to play a lot by myself to see if it bores me. I play with, I move the difficulty up and down to see if it actually gives me a challenge. I just want to know if it's fun. I think there's so many family games and games that are aimed at children that are just kind of crappy. Like, there's this really cynical thing in the gaming industry where I think a lot of people think that children don't know any better so that you can get away with a lot of bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I kind of look for that. I like family games that actually treat kids with respect and don't talk down to them, and those are very rare. And I think the Skylanders franchise, outside of the fact it's trying to sell you a bunch of toys, does that very well.
So when you're looking at a lot of your review has to deal with the selling of the toys. There is a rampant amount of it. It is a virtual engine designed to drive you to the Toys R Us or the KB if you have a time machine and can go back in time to where KB toy stores are open. the Children's Palace, if you prefer. As long as you have the time machine, you might as well go whole hog. How does that impact your review? How do you factor something like that into a review?
You know, it really depends. There are families who might have a ton of spending money and they don't really give a shit. And they're going to go out and they're going to buy literally $300, $400 worth of toys in some cases. It's not a big deal to them. If you are a family or an individual who really wants to get something out of every $10, $15 they spend on a game, then something where like the starter kit starting at $75 and then you need to buy traps and these other toys to access other areas, it's going to kill it for you right off the bat. I think presenting the information and being really honest about how the content is gated and how many toys you need is the way to go, and then let them make up their mind. It's really kind of tricky. Like, how does that impact the score? Because it almost has to do with your budget for your toys and video games and free time. I think it's a really tricky question because it does impact the experience. And it's kind of an open question because there's not a lot of games like this.
It's weird. One of the questions that has always been the hardest for me to answer as a reviewer, a lot of times people ask me, should I buy this game? Is it worth it to buy this game? And it's always really tough because I don't know what $60 means to you. To some people, $60 doesn't mean anything, in which case, what the hell, why not? And for some folks, $60 is a lot of cash. So that's always a really difficult question to answer. But keeping that concession in mind, do you feel like the toy purchases specifically are providing decent value, or is it more of a, just gimme, gimme, gimme type of thing.
Personally, taking away from looking at the review critically, I really like games that have a toy component. I love the Disney Infinity series. I love Skylanders. I think it's so funny because it's like there are so many BS ways that games are trying to get our money with microtransactions and season passes and DLC that's announced before the game is even out. That, like, we've almost come to accept that, but then when you have DLC that, like, comes in a toy, like, that's a bridge too far. You know, like, this weird line we draw. I wish more DLC came with a cool thing I could put on my desk. Mm-hmm. Like, my collection of Skylanders and Disney Infinity toys, and I find the toys oddly high quality. The sculpts are really good. The paint jobs are fun. They're really kind of heavy in your hand, and they're neat. Like, my younger kids play with the toys without even putting in the game.
Are they articulated usually? I mean, the toys.
No, these are statues. I mean, they're not like, you can't like move the arms or anything. Some of the Skylanders, if you put them on the portal, like little bits of them will light up, which is really cool. So the kids like just putting them on the portal and watching the things glow and everything.
Yeah.
So like, you can play with it. Like, it is definitely a toy. It's fun, and like the Swap Force figures you can break into with the magnets and mix and match and make your own characters a little bit. So I think that's kind of neat. I do think it adds value. It is definitely designed to be a high margin cash grab, but like I kind of feel like it's a two-way street. I really enjoy getting something physical out of it, which is something you don't, I mean, we don't have instruction manuals in most games, you know? Mm-hmm. And here you get a little cool toy of the character that when you put on, you get to play as the character.
That used to be my favorite when I would, when my parents would drive me to the mall to buy a game. It used to be my absolute favorite moments were the drive back from the mall when I would crack open the instruction booklet and read to them in great detail, like, well, apparently this pancake stack looking thing will suck up your sword and we'll give it back to you. How different do each of the characters feel? Obviously, that's part of what you're getting when you get one of these toys. How much of a different flavor does that bring to the action?
I think that's one of the really cool things about Skylanders. And the nice thing about it is Toys for Bob, the game's developers, they really can phone this in if they wanted to. They have the momentum. They have the marketing spend. The toys are such high margins that they're going to make a lot of money for Activision no matter what they do. I really appreciate the fact that they don't. Like, each character moves in a different way and has different special effects. It can be leveled up and you buy new powers. And each one looks and feels and acts so differently in the game that it's really fun to, like, find your favorite characters and kind of level them up and stick to it. Or, like, I'm only going to play with flying characters, or I'm only going to use watery characters. And that it adds a really cool thing to it. And the other neat thing about it being on a physical toy is when you level a character, that information is kept in the toy. So when my daughter is playing the iPad version of it with the little character, she actually gets to use everything I bought for that character in her game. And if she gains two levels, then I get back a level 8 Skylander. So it's almost like we're grinding with the same characters in this really fun way where we get to build off each other's successes. And I think that's a cool kind of communal way to play asynchronously, almost. It's a
so
really
is it writing to the toy.
Yeah, there's like a little bit of storage in there, so it just it updates the stats, and I can even like this has been Skylander, so I can put my initials in there. It gives you three, you know, little things. So if I have two of the same Skylander, I can put it on the portal and see which one's my son or which one's mine.
Can you use all of the previous Skylanders in this game? Like, can every Skylander you bought be used in the game?
Yes, but they did. So you can play with your favorite characters from older games, but they did this tricky thing where, like, to get all the content, you have to have specific quote-unquote trap master characters. So if you have to have, like, a plant-type Skylander, you can't just use your existing plant-type Skylander. You have to use the plant-type trap master $15.99 buy it now at Toys R Us figure. So they are getting clever to make sure that you can't use your existing collection to kind of see it all. But if you just like a character, yes, you can play with them and trap team, and it's a really cool aspect to it.
God, when Nintendo finally releases their Pokemon version of this, we're all so dead.
How did they let Activision get there first?
Right?
Like, it's ridiculous.
It's bizarre. What about the bosses? Trap Team adds the ability to, like, trap bosses and use them in combat. How does that sort of change the formula?
gosh, it's really cool. Cause so like, they made the toys even higher margins. Like the bosses, the traps you buy, and you need like 7 of them to get all of the elements, right? And they're $7 each. So you're already in like a huge investment for these traps. But when you put them in the portal, there's like a little slot and they're just like clear plastic. They're, you know, it's a mold. These were really easy to make. But when you put them in the little slot in the portal and you trap a boss character, it does this. There's a speaker in the portal and it does this cool little like illusion where the sound fades from your TV and then fades up in the speaker in the portal. So it actually kind of like sounds and feels like the character moves from the TV into your living room. And it does that every time you move a character from the trap to the screen. So you feel like you're almost interacting with the game world in this really cool imaginary way. It's like a flea circus almost. It has that neat little illusion where you think you're seeing the little fleas going up and down and the kids like talking to the character in the trap as it flashes and you hear the voice. It's so gimmicky, but like the 11-year-old in me just thinks it's so cool and I'll spend time just moving the character back and forth.
The designers, you talk about how Toys R Us for Bob borrows a lot of sort of existing game conceits and repurposes them in the game. Are there new ideas, too, that they're adding that are sort of building on the unique premise of Skylanders?
You know, I think if you've played a lot of platformers or a lot of games in general, you've pretty much seen what the gameplay is going to be. It really is kind of a grab bag from all these different genres. Like, there's a level that's kind of like an homage to MOBA games, where you have, like, you know, these little creep characters running with you and you're, you know, assaulting walls as the turrets attack you. And I'm like, neat, this is actually like really basic League of Legends stuff. There's some bullet hell areas where you have to like dodge and look at patterns. So it's fun to kind of see like, oh, it'd be neat if we threw that in there. But if you're an older gamer, you've seen this all before. It's very much a mixture of existing ideas that you can play with all these different characters. So they're not reinventing the wheel. They're just using kind of a lot of different smaller wheels.
I got some questions from readers about your review. First one comes from Jeremy, who asks about the mini versions of the characters and how they're integrated into the game. It seems like traps that focus a lot of reviews, which makes sense based on the title, but he's curious about the mini figures that Trap Team has introduced.
Well, now they can sell you mini figures.
Mini figures.
So they're smaller, and you can buy them and put them in the game. You know, my kids like them just because they're little toys. I think there might have been one or two areas where you need one to get to an item. But overall, it's very gimmicky. It's just, here's some smaller characters.
Are they smaller in the game, too?
Yeah, they're smaller in the game. So you can, like, fit in things and you can dodge. And they have higher-pitched voices. So it's like the mini version of the character you love. You might have bought him before, but you better give him $12 more because this one's smaller.
So Joshua asks, if Ben has also played Disney Infinity, which you have,
oh, yeah,
which of the two games, Skylanders Trap Team or Disney Infinity, would he recommend for more mature gamers or even gamers without kids? Is the choice as simple as whether or not you prefer the Disney license over the creative cartoon characters Toys for Bob has been pumping out? I know Disney Infinity has a sandbox mode to let hobbyist content editors run wild, but I think Skylanders generally beats out the competition in terms of sheer mini games or activities available.
I would say, you know, and I hate making this kind of, because it really is what you're into, like you said. It's hard to know what players like. But if you want just a fun game you can sit down and play and go through the missions and see the story and enjoy the minigames, I think Skylander has it all over Disney Infinity. What Disney Infinity does very well, and how I play it in my home, is unstructured play. It's kind of this idea that you can put on the Iron Man character and fly around a city, and then you can move things around in the city or create a mini game or download a toy box. It's not as much story based, even though you have the little play sets. It's very much kind of open ended, have fun, use your imagination, like you're playing with real toys in this virtual world. I get a lot out of that playing with the younger children. They love just having an Iron Man character who can fly around and they can hang out with, which is not anything you get in mini games. Usually you're fighting things, and if you just try to play, you'll die really quickly. So I love how much freedom Disney Infinity gives you to just hang out and have a good time. But from how the question is phrased, I think you're going to have a better time with Skylanders.
Ben, if I was a family that only had, let's say I only had the money to buy exactly what comes in the box, just the basic things in the Trap Team box, how much is my enjoyment of the game going to be impacted?
You're going to be pissed off all the time.
Okay.
Because, like, you can play through the entirety of the campaign and you can see a lot with what's included. Like, it's not a piddling amount of content you get in the box. But the game is designed to gate content that you can only see with specific types of toys. There's always, like, you find new powers for characters you don't have. And it's like, do you want to preview this character? And then if you click yes, you basically get, like, a commercial for that character. Like, wow, look at the powers. Look at what this dude can do. Wouldn't it be... You should freaking talk your mother into going right now and buying this. Is basically kind of the subtext, right? So the game is constantly pitching you on toys all of the time. It's unavoidable. And I think if you don't give in and buy at least a few extra ones, it's just you're going to pass by so many things you can't access. You're just going to get frustrated.
I have a question from Brian that's really for me, but I'm co-opting this section of the podcast. He says, as a general follower of the video game scene, the next couple of releases, but he knows, but with the crazy release schedules and uncertainty reviews, he's wondering how we, the listeners, should know to send in questions for a game we know is coming out soon. I say you can, what I have been doing is basically asking people for questions when a review is already published, because I think it's easier to sort of know what to ask that isn't in the review, which is what I'm more interested in. But anytime you want to send a question about a game that you think we're going to be reviewing soon, feel free to email qualitycontrol@polygon.com, and I'll look it up when I go to record an episode, see if there's something in there that demands to be asked. So, you know, feel free to email those anytime. Try to put the name of the game in the subject line if you don't mind. And if you see something go live on the site, I'm probably going to record an episode about it pretty soon. So if one isn't already in there, so feel free to send them in then to qualitycontrolpolygon.com. Ben Kuchera, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Thank you to us. I've adopted the royal we now. Handle that. Thank you for listening. If you could take a second to go subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave us a rating and a review, that would be hugely helpful. Thank you to the iTunes podcast official account for tweeting about the show. That was really nice of them to do so. We are here inconsistently. We are here whenever there is a new game to talk about. So that's the best way to keep tabs on the show. Just subscribe and let them come to you like that. Again, our email address is qualitycontrol@polygon.com. You can write whenever you want to. Ben, thank you again for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
For Ben Kuchera, I'm Justin McElroy, and you've been listening to Polygon's Quality Control. We'll be right back.